This is the Sean Salisbury Show.
You better run, you smart aleck.
Who is it, Brad?
Just a bunch of punks who better watch their backs.
Follow the show on Twitter at S. Salisbury
Show. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
From the SB Nation Radio Studios in Houston, with the Bench Warmers, here's Sean Salisbury.
And you can find us again on Twitter at S. Salisbury Show. We're fortunate now to be joined by, well, he's done a little bit of everything. He's been an NBA coach, longtime NBA coach, for TNT as a basketball analyst. Gets the pleasure of doing all those Nets games because we have to have
that
his sense of humor. That's a rough gig now. It's a rough gig, but he brings great personality and insight to it. And also, you catch him on NBA TV. It's the comprehensive destination for pre- and post-game studio coverage throughout the playoffs, including live on-site. And he is the czar of the telestrator. Mike Fratello joins us here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Coach, how are you? Good to have you.
Thanks, Mark. Oh, I'm sorry.
So sorry, my partner. Yes! There you go. Mike, how are you, man? Are you, let me first start out with the, and I know this has been kind of a dialogue most people have had. What's been your overall take of this postseason in the NBA?
Well, I know it's controversial from the standpoint. Should the super teams be allowed, which is a very, very difficult question, because if you go back as far back as you want to go into the NBA, I mean, weren't the Lakers, when they had Elgin Baylor and Jerry West and all, weren't they three All-Stars, three Hall of Famers? You know, and you go back to the Celtic teams. It's just that nowadays, because free agency and the monies, et cetera, when you go out and put it together, it doesn't look the same as we remember from back then. But basically, a lot of those championship teams had three great players, three first-team All-NBA players, or three players that were All-NBA, either the first, second, or third team, that went on to become Hall of Famers. And those teams won the championships. And, you know, way back it was Boston or L.A., and then the other guys would chip in every now and then. New York would win a championship once, you know, and then Houston won a couple, and Detroit won a couple, and Chicago won. But you know, when you think about it, in Chicago, you had Scottie Pippen, along with Michael Jordan, and you had, if you like, the Rodman piece that was in there. I mean, it's happened. But people right now, many people are a little bit upset that they feel the players are manipulating who winds up where. And if you're one of the markets that they don't want to go to, you don't have a chance of winning the way these other teams do. I don't know if that's come up a whole lot in the past 4 or 5 years, because San Antonio's had some pretty good pieces in there, like, how'd you like to get lucky and get David Robinson and then get Tim Duncan? Not a bad draw, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, or be in Orlando and get Shaquille O'Neal and Penny, you know, Hardaway, you know, luck of the draw. So, you know, having said that, you know, Dr. J along with Andrew Toney and Maurice Cheeks. And I think the 1 year, if I remember, that Philly team had 9 All-Stars, 9 on their roster. Guys like Bobby Jones and Steve Nicks, I think, who made All-Star teams, were coming off the bench, along with a couple other guys that had made All-Star teams along the way, and they were all part of that group. So, you know, we kind of let it go back then, but now it's drawing a lot of attention. So having said all that, we see these two teams, Golden State, go right through the first 3 rounds unblemished. Cleveland almost doing that, except they wound up giving up that big lead. But we should expect that from Cleveland, because they've done it throughout the whole season, where they held leads, and down the stretch, every once in a while, they get comatose and they give up the leads that they have and let the teams come back into games and beat them at the end. So the fact that they lost the 1 game to Boston, they played the first half last night like they were still, you know, sleepwalking. And then all of a sudden, LeBron gets his, you know, his 4th, and he's out in the second quarter. And Kyrie Irving decides to put on one of the great shows that you're ever going to see, and they come back alive, and they get back into it and pull it out. Now they're up 3-1, so we'll see if they wind up closing it out Boston tomorrow night.
Yeah, and headed to Boston for that game, and with that 3-1 lead. And, Coach, I'm curious, we've had this dialogue and passionate, I don't know if it's an argument or conversation on this show, about Kyrie Irving. We know what LeBron's about, and I think we have a pretty good idea what Kevin Love's about, but do you consider a guy who's just a scorer, can we call him a superstar in this league, or does he give us superstar performances once in a while? Is Kyrie Irving a superstar in the NBA?
Well, he's truly one of the elite offensive players in the league. this guy, if you said, how good is he? I mean, how about good enough to lead the league in scoring if you wanted to?
Right.
I mean, that's how good Kyrie Irving is, because not only can he get wherever he wants to get to on the floor with the basketball, but he finishes at the rim. He's, if not the best, one of the best finishers around the rim, you know, for perimeter guy, I'll call him. And he's a terrific free-throw shooter. He's a terrific three-point shooter. I mean, this guy can do it all, finish with his left hand, finish with his right hand, great handle on the ball. So what constitutes a superstar? Does he have to play both ends of the floor? Does James Harden, is that what you would say Harden is? Is Harden a great right. defender along with being a great offensive player? Because he's in the category of superstar.
Right.
And if you took LeBron off this team, which we've seen happen a few times, they can't win. And they cannot win a game without LeBron James. Having said that, if Kyrie Irving had the rest of the guys and LeBron was never a part of this team, would they learn how to win then? Would they be structured differently? Would they run different stuff offensively? Would they play different defensively? Those are all things we don't know, we can't answer, but it's something to think about if you're wondering, does Kyrie fall into the category of superstar? I don't know, a guy that can get you 30 points every night if you wanted to, is he a superstar? Not easy to do in the NBA.
Yeah, Mike Fratello, he does games for TNT as an analyst, and Yes Network calls Nets game. Also, NBA TV joins us here as a former NBA coach here on the Sean Salisbury Show. Let's switch to the other side in the West. And Coach, you've coached a lot, you know, you've coached teams, and is a layoff and seen this, is this much time off for a team that's gone 12-0, the rest for Golden State, will it be good? And are they good enough just to flick that light switch and get rolling? Now, it took them that one with the time off against San Antonio. They struggled in that first half. But can they turn it off, and will this rest be good for them?
Well, it worked for Cleveland. And, you know, Cleveland sweeping through the first two rounds and the large number of days that they had off in between. Everybody was, you know, rest or rust, and that kind of thing. Cleveland came out and, like, never skipped the beat from round one. Actually, round one was tougher than round two was for them. And I think it's how you handle it. And that's an interesting dynamic right there, how the different coaches handle it. Because Tyronn Lue in Cleveland, point blank, came out and said, we are not going 5-on-5 live. And that's it. He said, he's under the belief, the philosophy, that if you have all the players there to play, you have a chance to win. If you lose one of your key guys, and we can ask the Chicago people about losing Rondo after they're up 2-0 and then lose four straight, or San Antonio losing Kawhi Leonard when they're up 20 at the time he goes out and losing that game and then the rest of them after that. He said if you miss a key guy, then you stand a pretty good chance of not being able to win the whole thing. So they did a lot of conditioning, a lot of stuff on the VersaClimbers and the treadmills and, you know, the bikes and all that stuff, a lot of skeleton stuff, a lot of shooting. And it sure looked like they did a lot of shooting because they have been shooting the lights out from behind the three-point line. This is a team that was very shaky during the year from the free-throw line. For the most part, they've shot their foul shots very well. And then they ran their skeleton offense and did stuff like 2-on-2, 3-on-3, but did not go 5-on-5, whereas another coach might say, hey, look, we need a little shell work. We're going to go a little 4-on-4. We might defend one play or two plays live, 5-on-5, just to keep that edge. So depending on the philosophy there, you can come out of a lot of days off and be good. You may come out and be a little sluggish in the first half, but when the contact comes and you start to wake up and your shots start to go down in the game because practicing skeletal is nowhere close to having somebody chasing you hard during the course of the game, it may take you a little while to snap out of it. Like Cleveland last night looked like they was trying to snap out of it in the second half when Kyrie got them going. But I think Golden State is so good, and they've been there now. This is the third straight year that they're in the finals. They understand what it's all about. They understand if it's Cleveland that they meet, they understand what they're getting into and what the battle's going to be all about, because Cleveland could have very easily won 2 years back, the first year that Golden State won it. I think Cleveland lost the one in overtime and another one very, very close in that series that they could have won. And Cleveland was shorthanded, you know, losing Kyrie, losing Kevin Love. But then last year, Golden State very easily could have won.
Right.
So, you know, all of that comes back to understanding who they're going up against, what it's all about, how hard they have to play.
We should be in for one hell of a series again if it comes out to that and Cleveland's able to stave off Boston. Coach, awesome to have you on. We sure appreciate your insight. We love watching you. Keep up the good work, and we'll do this again.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
The great Mike Fratello, TV and Nets games. It's the Sean Salisbury Show.